Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Picks are in. Weekend is upon us. And it's a weekend where you can enjoy a little bit on Sunday if you are Falcon-focused, like many of us, and you're going, hey, bye week. All right, it's going to be a nice weekend. Enjoy.
Play some golf, maybe.
Do something outdoors because it's getting nice out there for sure. And then, you know, next week, Mike and I will be back up at Flowery. Now, things get shifted a little bit because it's a Monday night game, so we're normally there on Wednesdays. We're going to be up there on Thursday bringing you the coaches show and our player guests and all of that stuff next week because, again, game's not until Monday night. It's not Sunday. But it won't change anything as far as what we give you week in and week out. And, look, I'm curious to know, when once we get back, Mike, what happened on this bye week? Again, I think the perception, and I think most sports fans know by now, it's not like these guys, you know, put their feet up on the desk and don't do anything or they get out of town. A lot of the players may because this is their only break. Of length when you talk about a long season, but even that is just a couple of days, and then you're back at it, man. It's not like, you know, you're going to sit around, Mike, and eat bonbons all week.
Yeah, we'll get to see, and it is kind of cool. One thing, we'll get to see what the Patriots game is Sunday night with Buffalo.
That's right.
So we'll get to see that, and then, of course, you know, look at Josh Allen, see what, you know, Vrabel and company come up with to try to slow him down. It's copycat league. I mean, we've got some tremendous athletes. I mean, give credit to Fontenot. I know I was killing him for some of the things I perceived were, you know, some crazy picks, but now, the last 2 years on the defensive side of the ball, we talked about names like Brandon Dorlus, Luke is really coming into his own. And then, you know, the evolution of what Pierce Jr. and Jalen Walker are. Are they where you expected them to be? The Minnesota game was kind of amazing. Unfortunately, the entire team. Defense wasn't horrible against Carolina. We just couldn't. They flipped the field on them with you know, bad kicks and a pick six. But I do think, you know, the defense, you need a little bit more in that game, but everything was going south against Panthers.
Yeah, it really was. And let me ask you this, because coming off of last night's game, they didn't win, but the Rams are good, and we know that, and they worked their way back into that game. Matthew Stafford, Mike, has 11 touchdowns, 2 picks this year. He's already got 1,500 yards. He leads the league by like 400 yards, right? Dak Prescott is second behind him in yards, and his quarterback rating is over 100, which is great. I'm just thinking, like, is this going to be a year where Matthew Stafford actually wins a potential MVP? Now, I know it's a long season. Lamar has been injured. Mm-hmm. Josh is obviously going to be in the mix, and we'll get a chance to see him first, you know, firsthand. But unlike last year, I think they're more balanced a little bit more maybe on offense, and even though they rely on Josh a lot. But I'm just looking at this, and I'm going, 38-year-old Matthew Stafford, right? I think he's 37, he'll be 38 this year. Mike, is having a really good start after 5 games. If he stays healthy, we talked about this in the offseason, the back and all of that, and we know his ties to Georgia and certainly his, you know, living here. But, man, that would be a story. And I don't know if it'll play out that way, but I'm just kind of surprised to see him on top of all these numbers when you talk about the quarterbacks in the league.
Well, Josh Allen is running for touchdowns. He's throwing for touchdowns. So, again, you add them all up.
Right.
You know, you get up there to where Matthew Stafford is. I mean, Dak Prescott is a good quarterback. but, you know, it's just the Cowboys. Okay, I mean, he's second in yards. Sometimes the yards, that doesn't really tell the story. No. 6 touchdowns, 3 picks. But as far as total yardage, he's second. Daniel Jones, I know in my fantasy league, he was the 5th-ranked quarterback, and I may have to start him this week.
I
picked him up off, you know, he was out there.
Who's your other
claimed
guy?
Him. It is Jordan Love with the Packers. Mm. So it's going to be Daniel Jones against the Raiders, and hope that he does a good job. But statistically, he's doing okay. Drake May, and again, you know, we'll see them too. Remember, guys, we see the Patriots later this year.
Yeah.
Drake May's got 7 touchdowns and 2 picks, and he's athletic.
Yeah, and if you're wondering, Michael Penix is in the middle of the pack, guys.
12th. He comes up 12th in yardage. The touchdowns, and again, remember we had all those weeks with no touchdowns. He's only 1.3 touchdowns, 3 picks.
Well, that's the thing. Stafford's throwing touchdowns at least 2 every week or more. That's how you get to that number 11, and you go, wow, all right, he's not turning it over.
Caleb Williams, 8 touchdowns, 2 picks. You think Ben Johnson's working?
It's a good start, man. It really is. Just curious as we talk about, you know, where we're at and where the league is and these quarterbacks. More on the Falcons coming up at 5 o'clock. You'll hear Brian Snicker's interview with the Steakhouse. Right now, though, let's talk some dogs. You already know I like them this weekend. But Kirby says it's not going to be easy because Kentucky always plays them tough.
All right, guys. It's on to Kentucky for us. Our guys are fired up. Got work done yesterday, and a bunch of them came in. And I think when you see our guys, you realize how invested they are when they hurt. It's good when guys hurt because you hurt relative to how invested you are in something. So I know our guys will have good energy today for a really, really – it's always the most physical game when we play these guys. Because philosophically, they believe in running the ball. We believe in running the ball. Those two things hit head-to-head when we play them.
I mean, you and I, we spent a lot of time in the pick segment talking about what Georgia team you're going to get. You know, again, even if you do, you know, heaven forbid, start a little vanilla, as some people have said. Mike Griffin said he thought the defensive approach from Glenn Schumann was a bit, pedantic. This isn't exactly an offense that can do anything to you with it. But, yeah, man, the Wildcats, as you mentioned, lost to South Carolina. 2-2, but you know the physicality Kirby's talking about. I would imagine George has heard all the chatter all week. So you expect? I mean, what does that mean? Coaches coach angry? Are you going to coach angry? I mean, I know the guy's going to play angry. Are you going to coach angry?
Yeah. Look, I heard last week going into the Alabama game that there was no change in his demeanor as far as what he said and how he went about it versus the Alabama week. And that may sound crazy, but. You know your team. You know what gets through to them, Mike. Again, right. It wasn't like Georgia wasn't ready to play. You got to give credit and tip your cap sometimes the other side and say they came out with a great game plan. But to your point, yeah, I think you need a little bit of that this week. I do think you need to be a little PO'd and come out with that kind of energy to maybe get things ramped up. Look, this season for the Dogs is not going to get any easier. Whether you think Kentucky is going to be an easy win or a loss or whatever, wherever you're at, and I think it's going to be a big win. But, Mike, the season, look at the rest of this season. You've got to get mentally right going into these games. You can't start slow against Texas at home in right. Athens. You can't go on the road against Auburn the following week and think that that's going to be a cakewalk. We know how hard it is to win there. So I just feel like you got to set a tone, and now is the time to do it moving forward.
Georgia has won the last 15 meetings, as most Dog fans know. Last time, that's when Rick was really struggling, 2009, 2010. 2009, last time they beat the Bulldogs. It was in Athens, but I don't expect that. All we're focused on is that number, and can they cover and win by 20?
Kentucky's defense, here's the thing for me. When you talk about what they do, they give up a lot of yards, a lot of passing yards. I expect these wide receivers to get involved in the offense early. You said you wanted to see – look, you didn't feel like they threw to the wide receivers enough in the last game,
did you? Well, it's just something that we had talked about and just felt, look, if you're going to spend some money and you invest in these guys, and I just felt that, you know, Zach Branch is the best athlete you've got.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be cash. Now, again, that's one specific play. If the freshman lineman block, I think anybody could score there. But you know, I think Connor Riley was saying that other guys have emerged, and they like Dylan Bell and Kobe Young better than Noah Thomas. So that maybe that was money not well spent. But Zach Branch is a guy that to me has got to have a bigger impact on these games.
Yeah, I agree with that, and that's what I see. I think as far as the offense, you're going to see more production from the wide receivers. Now, Dady, I do agree with you. Late when they're up, they're just going to run the ball, and that's fine. Get these running backs acclimated. Again, don't fumble. Okay, don't put it on the ground. But I'm fine with that late. I'm not fine with that early. I want to see him come out and get established. All right, let me hear Kirby talking about the pain of this loss. And again, that's something that they're dealing with right now.
Hurting is hurting. It doesn't matter what age you are. You know, the more invested you are, the more you hurt. My question is, what are you going to double down on? You know, it's a different day and age of college football. Like, it's completely different out there. It's We've accepted it as coaches. We have to do a good job of the players responding to it. And, you know, what do you double down on? I know more about my team right now than I did a week ago. I can guarantee you that. And that's what fires me up. And I got a lot of optimism after that game because I learned a hell of a lot more about my team than I had the previous weeks.
Okay. And here's another reason why they're going to cover for me tomorrow. Cutter Bowley, I know you don't watch Kentucky, was terrible against South Carolina. No touchdowns, two picks. He only threw for a buck 20. Mm. They don't have anybody that pushes the ball down the field. So that is going to be tough. Georgia had a tough time against Alabama because they had that.
Super athletes, right.
That's part of this. All right. Ed Ogeron says he wants to get back into coaching. I want you to hear Ed because he always makes us laugh. Don't know where the right fit is for him as we talk some college football. But this is Ed Ogeron talking about it.
There's talk that you want to coach again. Does that mean big-time assistant like you were at USC? Does that mean head coach? What does that mean?
All depends what the best thing available is, Jock. But I'm ready to coach again. I left a little bit meat on the bone. I'm ready to go.
This is why he fit
LSU. Got some meat on the bone. I'm ready to go there.
He fit LSU so perfectly, right?
No, I mean, you think about, you know, having Joe Brady as the passing game coordinator with a veteran OC and letting him, you know, just cut it loose, the perfect, you know, the stars aligned for Ed. One thing about Ogeron, everywhere he's been going back to his time at USC, great recruiter.
Yep.
So, but he's got to find that young, you know, sharp offensive mind to go along with it. Everybody tells us from LSU, and we got a lot of friends in Louisiana, is – it's a shame. Ed had a, you know, like, it's, I don't want to get underneath his fingernails in his personal life, but, you know, you don't ditch your wife when you're on top of the world and lose focus and you're, he just lost it. He basically lost his compass. I don't know if he'd admit that in an interview, but everything was there. You had the perfect machine. All you got to do was go, you know, you found a transfer. Now with the transfer portal, it would have been set up perfectly. You could argue, but things went south. But I think, you know, after paying his penance off in the wild and making a nice severance package doing it, Carl, is Ed ready to return? But what's that staff going to look like, I guess, is my question.
No, it's a great point because I think he's a great recruiter. Obviously, that doesn't play. It does, but it's not as big as maybe it was 10 years ago, right? So Ed can convince kids and families, like, this is the place. But also, you talk about that portal, but it is about the staff for him. I think that is the biggest thing. And he had an incredible staff at LSU. Go look at the guys. They're all pretty much moved on and doing great things. But I'll say this about what you're talking about, Mike. Midlife crisis comes for people at different times. It's not always at 50, right? It comes at different times, and you have those challenges, and you're right. Ed's making a lot of money. He's on top of the world. He's got everybody telling him he's the best thing ever. He's taking runs without his shirt on, and somebody's like, Ed, you're so cute. And he's like, really? And the next thing you know, he's got a midlife crisis.
I'd like to come look at Tiger practice. Run around Jackson Square in his purple shorts. That the situation with the lady that went viral, because it turned out like her husband was a booster or was on the board, I guess the LSU's version of the Board of Trustees, whatever it is. And for those who don't remember it, he's at the gas station pumping gas. And there's this sexy woman. He's like, hey, you want to go work out together? She's like, well, I'm married. That don't matter. I was like, come on, man.
Yep.
And that thing went viral. Like, as you said, it happens to happens to the best of us at times. Meanwhile, the other game, nobody picked in our pick segment last hour. And I want to get your no-nonsense take on this. Do you trust Arch Manning in the swamp? Because, you know, the Florida Gators have still got a rough-and-tumble defense. The over-under on this thing is only 42.5.
Yeah.
But can Arch Manning, in his first SEC road game, this is the last chance, I think, for Gator fans to probably be excited about this season. Maybe you're not because you feel Billy Napier's time has passed. But the fans will be bananas in the swamp. What's going to happen?
Well, they are 0-1 in the SEC. They've dropped three in a row, the Gators. Three in a row. That's hard to do.
They, you know, maybe it's a statement of how inept LSU's offense is under Brian Kelly. That Florida State in that game, it should have been a blowout, but that's an LSU problem. So maybe can they do the same to Texas?
Well, listen, my point about that is Billy Napier's back on the proverbial hot seat, right? Before the season started, SEC Media Days were here in July. We were talking about it. And Billy's like, oh, my team responded last year, and they did. And it saved his job. Texas has won all three of its SEC road games in 2024. So, it's the first year for Arch, as you mentioned, on the road. The Ohio State game, though, Mike, gave him a real sense of what this is going to be like.
Right.
You know, but I do trust him. And I'm being serious. I feel like, you know, some of the stuff that has happened with Texas, penalties, turnovers, he wasn't delivering the football. They've had time to get right. They've not played. Okay, they played three cupcakes leading into this game.
I could think of a few places I would rather not start my SEC road career than the Gainesville.
Yeah.
You know, and that, you know, granted, again, they are what they are at this stage, but it'll be interesting. That's a 3:30 game.
It is. I'm looking at this. Texas tied for eighth in the SEC with 11 sacks. That's going to be the difference.
Right.
Can they get after DJ Lagway and he turns the ball over? But I do. But the spread is weird. This is like last night. When we talked about last night, we kept telling you guys, like, this is – the NFL is crazy this way. 8.5-point favorite, underdog for the 49ers. Look what happened. This is similar. Like, you go, wow, Texas should be way better. And watch what happens on Saturday. Watch it be a close game. All right, man, we got more to get to. Brian Snicker, what did he say on the steakhouse? Stay right there. As the manager says it was his decision, he talks about why and much more. It's Dukes and Bell.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com. It's Dukes and Bell. Coming up, Steve Coonan's going to join us. But we want you to hear what Brian Snicker had to say to Steak and Sandra today. And part of this is the decision. And did he feel like this was a countdown, feeling like this was the end? Here's what Brian Snicker said.
Yeah, so, man, all the above, honestly. I went into this thinking it was going to be my last year. And that was kind of the plan. That was the mindset that I had. And then, you know, and I, it's like I told the guys, you know, in press conferences, I said, it's the first time I've ever been through this. I don't know that anybody in this business is ever ready to walk away. But I pretty much, you know what, if you'd asked me in April, May, June, July, absolutely, this was going to be the last. And I think as you get closer to the end, you still keep thinking, it's like, well, maybe I can do this another year. And then, honestly, after the third out on Sunday, I got home a couple days and I started to detox a little bit. And you know what, as I'm sitting here today with y'all, it was the right time. I can tell now that, as I'm just cleaning the garage out yesterday and going and watching the boys practice and going to Hank's flag football practice tonight after, you know, being able to do that all summer and the spring and everything, I think this was the right time.
You know, I thought it resonated with me when you talked about it. And, you know, Sandra and I are getting to be men and women of a certain age. I never thought about it before, but you have been a slave to that baseball schedule for 50 years, and the notion and freedom of maybe we'll go to this game, maybe we'll go visit folks for 5 days, maybe we'll hit a cruise, maybe we'll go to the U.S. Open, like the notion that that you and Ronnie can all of a sudden have a sense of freedom, which I hear folks who get retired say, it's just awesome. I can kind of do what I want to do when I want to do it. And is that why you feel so confident now as you start to think about it?
Yeah. You know what? When my daughter told me, she said, when you tell these kids, they're going to have a fit. And so I got them all together. I picked them up from school and I took them back to their house. And I said, you know, it was kind of hard. It's like herding cats when you get them over there. And I sat them down on the couch and I said, you know what, fellas? I said, next year when you go to the Braves game, I'm going with you. And then they looked and they got a big smile on their face and said, you're not going to manage next year? And I said, no. And she said, does that mean you come to our games in the spring and summer? And I said, yes. And you know what? I'll just remember the smile on their faces. And you know what? I'll know it's been the right thing to do.
Because for kids, as nice it is to have a famous granddad and have nice a setup at in the clubhouse. They just want you to be their grandfather, which probably means you getting to be there and talk about why they had a double in the fourth inning and grab ice cream afterward, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I mean, it's because they're like two little general managers. I take them home from me from a game, and they're like, Grandpa, why did you do this? Or why did you do that? Or why did he swing at that pitch, that 3-1 pitch in the fourth inning and things like that? So they're really into it, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun to do that. I'm taking my one of the twins to their golf tournament tomorrow morning. We got to get up early, but he's teeing off and playing, you know, and competing in golf. So it's going to be a lot of fun to be able to do that, things like that.
Brian Snicker with us, former manager of the Braves. I do want to clear up one thing real quick. Report this morning, or in Mark Bowman's article yesterday, he said something about after meeting with Alex and Terry, it became clear that there was no reason to entertain the notion of getting an extension, which is a little bit of a play on words, I guess. Was it a mutual decision in the sense that they gave their own input, or was this purely Brian telling them, this is what I want to do? How mutual was it?
Eventually, ultimately, it's going to be my decision, and it was, and I had a long talk with the both of them. It was really good conversation about kind of my afterlife and, you know, as a manager. And it all sounded really good to me, quite honestly. Because like I said, it's one of those things that I think if you wait to retire when you're ready, and it's hard. Yeah, I remember talking to Bobby about that. And I think, I remember him telling me one time, he goes, man, I wouldn't have retired if I knew it was going to feel this good. But then when he stepped into the new role, I was talking to Pam the other day, he said, God, he loved it. And so then pretty much that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to step into the role that he had prior to the stroke and when he was, when he was in his condition now. So it was me. I mean, I said it was, I'm glad I made the decision. I feel really good about it. And there's going to be times, I guarantee you this, I'm going to spring training. That's the thing. I'm still going to drive to spring training, put on Jesus Christ Superstar and do the whole thing. So, and I get to be down there and be a part. And I told him too, I said, I'm getting to that age where I want to make sure I'm included on that physical every year in the beginning of the season. So, like I said, I'm still going to be around. I told the guys that in the clubhouse the other day, you're not getting rid of me. I said, I'm going to go to spring training and do the same thing I did. I just drive around in a golf cart, except now I'm going to have shorts and a polo on.
World Series winning manager, Mr. Brian Snicker is on with us. Brian, you know what I was thinking about when you were doing the press conference and I was listening? They fire Freddie Gonzalez, you step in. And then we hear, by the way, you guys are winning. They're so happy in the clubhouse. And then we hear the reports of the Freddie Freemans and among others that went to management and said, we want Brian Snicker. Did you know that was happening at the time?
No, I didn't. Not till after. I remember like it was yesterday. I was driving. We were having organizational meetings in Orlando. I was driving. Bobby was probably a half a mile behind me. We were kind of semi-following each other. And that's when I got the call, and the first person I called was Bobby, that was driving behind me. And then after the fact, I found out that the guys had went to copy in support of me. I've heard from pretty much all of those guys the last couple of days, and I'm very appreciative of that. Thank God they did. I don't know what way they were going to go. Heck, I didn't know when Alex came on.
No doubt.
He was going to do. Yeah. The first conversation I had was Alex on a Saturday morning at 8 o'clock, and he was in Los Angeles and calling me to introduce himself. He didn't know me. I didn't know him. Like he said the other day, I went to his press conference to introduce myself. And I kind of think that first year was him learning the organization, seeing what was going on there, getting a feel for myself and the staff. Luckily it worked out and we've done really well together.
I will say that sometimes the humility of guys, a lot of guys are like, I got to get my own guy and I'm going to do this. And We don't have to go with a Braves guy. Alex Anthopoulos, one of those humble executives, and I think that's part of why he said, I don't need to make a drastic move once I learn about this guy. And that, a lot of guys with somebody like Alex, you'd be worried for your gig here, being like, he's got no connection to me or this situation.
Well, absolutely. And you know what? He's charged with that responsibility of building this organization, and he's going to be, you know, responsible for everything that goes on with this. So he's taken a flyer on me and a gamble, and thank God it worked out.
Yep.
And, you know, we got through the year, and I really, you know, enjoyed working for him. He was so transparent, and he checked all the boxes. He's an unbelievably bright guy and got great feel and understands the game. And I think, and he told me more than once that he, you know, learned on the job about the importance of makeup in a clubhouse and of a player and things like that. And he's not afraid to tell you. I mean, I'll tell him all the time when I screwed up, and, you know, so, you know, it became a really, and like you said too, we trusted each other. And you know what? I think the biggest thing in a relationship like that, and I told him this when we were getting ready to take our wives to dinner before the first game of the World Series. I said, the reason with it that we can get along because neither of us have to be right. And I've seen those situations and those relationships in baseball that doesn't always work if you have to be right, because some people would rather be right than win.
Brian Snicker with us. If we can talk a little bit about your career and the great 49-year run with the Braves, it'll continue. Where did you get the know-how or the advice or the mentorship? You were a hothead, certainly, as a manager. You certainly,
yeah, I was.
You were a racehorse in the red or whatever. You also were an old school guy. So, you know, the histrionics of players, or whether they're wearing chains, or whether you know, they're strutting it after a home run. You were not that guy as a manager, though, and you probably understood at some point some of that has to change. How do you evolve that late in life to realize those are things I can't worry as much about?
You know what? And it is. It's kind of like the players. I always said to my kids, they don't want to be dud-a-da-dud, and the players don't want to be that either. So, and you know what? The kids or the players at the probably a little bit after I got this job, they were raised differently than the kids I managed when I first started. I mean, it was just the society that they grew up in was totally different than the guys when I first started managing back in the early 80s, when I was roving and then started managing in 82. And you know what? You have to evolve with them. You have to change with them. And you got to pick your battles. I mean, and believe me, there's a lot of battles to be picked in a sport like this when you're playing 7 months in a row and all that. So, and I was fortunate, you know what, that I had great mentorship when I was growing up, whether it was managers that I played for, guys like Jim Beachum, Bobby Dews, Bruce Del Canton, Luke Appling, when I first started managing, you know, he was a Hall of Famer and an unbelievable baseball guy that kind of took me under his wing. Hank Aaron, obviously. There's just so many. And then, you know, to get to go to big league camp with Bobby Cox when he was a manager, and he was young and on fire then too, and help out and watch him work. And then John Schuerholz comes in and kind of, you know what, restructured this organization and, you know, how we handle things, how we dressed, how we approach things, the professionalism that he demanded. Because I said, I've been blessed to be raised by Hall of Famers, and I've been blessed to watch Hall of Famers after they were drafted become Hall of Famers.
Brian Snicker with us on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I'm wondering if you could tell baseball fans what you learned from winning a World Series with that team as opposed to some of your others. So you win with an 88-win team. You win with Rosario being NLCS MVP, Jock Peterson getting hit, Soler hitting the home run. You don't even have Ronald Acuna. You win 100 games multiple times. Those teams don't go as far. What is it about one team that can capture a championship? What do you learn about baseball and about the postseason? And even for, you know, a lot of great teams that didn't win it for the Braves, and the one that did was your 88-1 team. So what do you learn about baseball?
I know.
Yeah.
You know what? I used to tell the guys in my first, you know, when I'd get together in the spring training. I said, the big thing is, fellas, you know what? You got to get in because anything can happen after that. And as we saw, I remember sitting around here in 21 over the All-Star break, and I was like sick to my stomach the whole break because I was looking at our record. I said, we weren't treading water. We were underwater with a straw trying to stay alive. And I saw the upcoming schedule after we came out of the break, and winning a World Series that year, even winning the division that year, was so far away in my mind in July. And then it just kind of, you know, we had the moves at the deadline where we kind of got guys, you know, we got Rosario who was injured and he wasn't even available. We got Soler that wasn't doing great, but he had been doing good prior to us getting him. Then we got Jock. I remember he was in a jet on an island or something, and he was going to fly in and just barely get there that first day. But it was just things, and you just, Eddie Rosario caught that ball in left field in the NLCS or the World Series, one of them. And I said, you know what, Jim Beachum was in his back pocket right there. Because I don't even think Eddie saw the ball. And then Eddie's the MVP of the NLCS, just getting big hit after big hit. You don't know. In 93, we go in there, we have a season, we're setting all kinds of offensive records, and we went into Philadelphia and laid an egg. I mean, it's just what happens in the postseason. I mean, you're going to watch it right now. I just watched Cleveland just win their first division. We went in there and swept them a couple of weeks ago. They were on the verge of one of the biggest collapses in the history of the game. And now all of a sudden, who knows what they're going to do. So there's no rhyme or reason to the postseason. I mean, it's an entity all to itself, but you have to get in there. And that's what I always told the players. You've got to get in there for something good to happen. If you don't get in, then nothing good can happen because you never know what's going to happen when you get in.
Brian Snicker with Steak and Sandro.
Always great access with Brian right here on the radio station, and always telling you like it is. And again, just curious where they go from here, but his legacy secure, as we said, talked about it yesterday. We'll talk more about it in the 5 o'clock hour, the reaction it got. But you just love the guy. You're going to miss him. And the players, just like with Bobby Cox, just love playing for that man.
All right, coming up, Steve Koonin, Hawks CEO, joins us next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Steve, we want to celebrate great players and great managers, great coaches in our city, and Snit is certainly one of those. Were you surprised of the news this week that he was stepping away?
Mildly. I mean, he's done it for a decade at a high level. He's won a World Series. They certainly didn't have the year that any of us thought they were. And, I would imagine he thought the timing was right, or they and he thought the timing was right and mutually agreed. And, you know, he went from being a lifelong, you know, minor league manager, base coach, to World Series champion. So I think it's a pretty damn great career.
Just a lovable guy, man. Speaking of managers, yep. In this case, coaches, Quinn Snyder goes into year four as Hawks coach. We just had the media day. Practice has started, as Carlos said, before you know it, preseason begins. This is arguably the best team that Quinn's ever had. So what's he going to do with it?
Well, we're not going to argue. I think it's I went to practice opening day, and it was just electric. Mm. The different combinations at his disposal, the length and speed of the team. It's going to now he did try to be a little cautionary when he said that, you know, it's going to take a little time to gel and the new guys and the old guys to all merge together. But it's very exciting. And we start preseason October 13th against the Miami Heat. We are going to do that, tip off that game at 6 o'clock, and then the Falcons are going to play the Buffalo Bills on Monday Night Football that same night. But they obviously, we've scheduled it to hopefully help people avoid traffic.
Yeah, no doubt. And as we talk about the game times real quick, we'll talk more about this when we get close to the start of the regular season, but a lot of games, the times have been moved, but it's not all the games, right, Steve?
Oh, no, no, no. I mean, we have 3 8 o'clock games this year. They're on Saturday nights, and they're against Friday and Saturday nights, and they're against the Lakers, Golden State, and the New York Knicks.
Okay.
So they're kind of, I'll call them breakout games, if you would. But otherwise, 7:30 tip that we've been doing for years.
If you're new to the show, then, yeah, go ahead.
No, we have some Sunday family times also at 3 o'clock, and MLK Day is at 1 o'clock.
I was going to say, if you're new to the show, this is our guy, Steve Coonan. He's the CEO of the Hawks. He's got an amazing background in sports and entertainment and in and beverages with bubbles in it, too. Started at Coca-Cola, Sprite, and then working over at TBS. A lot of your programming you love from the NBA and TNT, all that was Steve's brainchild. And now over there is the CEO of the Hawks, and he joins us every week to talk about the Hawks and other stuff. We heard Trae Young. I thought Trae, the question asked about his contract status, I thought was answered perfectly. Carl and I looked at it. We did the math. He had a nice long answer about, you know, this season. Only 10% of the question, you know, was the answer was about the contract. Basically said, yeah, you know, wish we had something done. And then goes and talks about his teammates looking forward to this year, which I thought, and equated that with leadership.
Yeah, I mean, he's the guy that everybody's looking to on the team. He's the leader. He's the one who has the ball in his hand. He's the quarterback of our offense. And I thought his answer was great, and I think he's come in here with a great attitude and great spirit. And, you know, Trae's a very special guy, and I'm very, very excited to see him with all these weapons.
Yeah, I think there is, Steve, a real expectation, not only here, but I think around the league because of the moves that were made this offseason by our team and our general manager in the front office. So that's good. I mean, we go from a team that has been, you know, in the play-in, and we're all tired of that, and hopefully we're a team that's maybe top four in the East. I think that's the goal. But as we talk about, you know, the meshing of this team, what has Coach said about that? Mm-hmm. I mean, like, what is the timing, right? Because we don't expect him. Maybe they do. I mean, to mesh immediately, you got a lot of new faces here.
Yeah, I mean, that's why training camp's so important, and we've had sessions twice a day, and it's working to figure out what are the best lineups, how they can best support each other, what are we doing at different points of the game, do we have a defensive lineup, you know. Okongwu and Porzingis are real assets. How do you play them? How do you play them together? Can the big O play the four? Can you go that big? Jalen Johnson, can he be a point forward? Can he be the LeBron role, you know, that you've seen for years? So there's a lot of things they have to figure out, but it all starts with talent. And I think we have talent at virtually every position.
Yeah, man, and just can't wait to see, you know, Reese Hoshea. We talked about everybody on this team, you know, the size. And, you know, one thing we did talk, Carl brought this up, I think, earlier in the week. Who's our big? It's kind of like a five, not to get like all wonky and technical, Steve, but we got lots of guys that can kind of play the big. Okongwu obviously is back. Capella moves on. But that's one area where I thought maybe we, you know, if Porzingis can stay healthy, I guess the question is going to be how much of Porzingis are we going to see and what's that load management going to look like?
Well, I think it's too early for any of us to know. But the great part about depth is that you can play different combinations and different stresses and strains on the opposition with your lineup. So we'll see. But he looks really, really, really.
Steve?
Oh, man. I just asked him about Porzingis. Sorry.
Well, I think Steve was going to say he looks really, really, really good.
I mean, I presume that's just a phone line dropping.
Yeah, I hope so. We'll grab him back
on the line. But no, and for those who didn't miss what we were talking about earlier, when Trae was, it wasn't like Trae, you know, made a big stink about, you know, not having, because again, he's under contract. He can opt out after this year. But as we said, I think the Hawks taking the right approach, Carl. Let's see how the man does with all, you know, arguably the best lineup he's had since 21.
You were talking about Porzingis. I think the phrase was really, 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 and we left you off right there. What were you saying?
I didn't drop off. I just passed out from excitement.
No, it's like, I hope Stephen hit his head on his desk.
We keep ENTs around for when we do this radio show.
Yes.
By the way, in your office, are you on the couch right now with your feet up? How are you doing this interview?
I'm sitting in one of the chairs in my office looking at the most amazing thing. I don't know how many of you have been downtown Atlanta.
It's great.
The Centennial Yards, man, it's coming out of the ground. I've been talking to you guys about it for about 8 years.
Yeah.
And just watching Cosm come out, just met with the people who are running the Phoenix Hotel and the Mitchell. There's going to be Shake Shack was announced this week. Mm. There's some big restaurant announcements coming. Live Nation's getting ready to start construction on their theater. You know, in my lifetime, there's never been a heart of downtown Atlanta, and just to see it come out of the ground is pretty breathtaking.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought this up because I was taking it in. I hadn't had to park on that side until last week, so I had to walk kind of down there where all the construction's going on, and the Mitchell looks great. These are hotels, guys, you'll get familiar with if you live here.
Right.
But, Steve, the thing that I think is going to be the coolest thing for sports fans is that arena kind of feel. What's that thing called? We were talking about this a while back, where you're immersed in the experience.
Cosm.
Oh,
okay.
COSM.
Amazing.
And it is beyond. Go look it up online. They have one in L.A. and one in Dallas.
Yes.
And it is. I mean, I can't believe I'm saying this, but from a football perspective, which I've seen,
right,
it's literally like sitting on the 20-yard line, and they're playing ground you.
Wow.
It's unbelievable.
I'm looking at the website right now. It looks amazing.
It does. It's a different way to experience games, but there'll be all kinds of stuff going on there. But, I think that's going to be one of the go-to spots for a lot of sports fans here in Atlanta. But I'm glad you're just sitting there and taking this all in with your feet up. I'm glad you're enjoying it.
I am totally relaxed, man. I don't have to get tight till the game tips off on October 22nd.
Right.
Get your tickets now. We're almost sold out. It's going to be an incredible opening night.
Not to ruin your mood, but does Kirby get tight against Alabama? Steve is a Georgia alum, for those who don't know. A proud Georgia alum.
You know, sometimes a glitching needs to take a side to taking a look at the game. You know, do you tie it up with the field goal?
Right.
Do you run wide versus, you know, you just have some running backs who are just killing them? So sometimes aggression can be a double-edged sword. But, again, we're just playing to get into the playoffs. And Kentucky has you know, they've had a mixed up season. I mean, I think South Carolina beat them by 30 something.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you're going to be on Kalshi sports betting from Georgia because our legislature can't figure it out. But, you know, I think the dogs are going to, I think they're going to pay the price. The poor Kentucky Wildcats are going to pay the price for, what happened last Saturday night.
Pay the price!
You hear that bold talk from Puffy K? The dogs are dropping the hammer on the Wildcats.
And I agree with you.
Aggression!
I agree with them. That's why I picked them. Steve, we got to run, man. Have a great weekend. Thank you so much. And the Hawk season's right around the corner, guys. Get your tickets, right? Season tickets available.
Absolutely. Take care, guys.
All right.
Thanks,
Steve Coonan. Hey, we're coming back. Falcon Report's on the way. We're recapping our first four games, because it's a bye week for our Falcons. Then we will get into some college football. And, yes, we will address the elephant in the room because many of you are saying, Dukes and Bell, did you know who said what about you?
Wait, I'm an elephant? I thought I was a gas bag.
And a clown.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.